to be talking about the Kaf Yarech Yaakov. So Pasuk Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Chavav says, "Vayar Kilo Yochlo." The Malach saw that he wasn't able to defeat Yaakov Avinu. Vayigah the Kaf Yarecho, and he touched the hip point, the hip joint, right by his leg. Vateka Kaf Yarech Yaakov Be'av Goimo. He dislocated Yaakov's leg while he was fighting with him, while he was doing this whole fight. Now Rashi is the one that says that it was actually dislodged. Unkelus Targum Yonasan Yushalmi. They all say the same. The Rashbam, Ibn Ezra, they all say it was dislodged, meaning the bone went out of place. It was right there, right attached to the socket, right by the hip, and then it was taken right out of place. It was moved all around. The Chizkuni says a different shot. He says that the Malach lifted up his leg, almost like a wrestling move, lifted up his leg in order to flip Yaakov over in order to jump on top of him, fall down on top. But Yaakov was too quick. So when he lifted up his leg, Yaakov pulled the other way. And when he did that, it's a little, football injuries and you're okay, but he literally dislodged the leg from the actual hip. The Malach was holding the leg and Yaakov turned the other way. It went the other way entirely. Rehersh says, this left Yaakov with a limp that may have been there for the rest of his life. That this one may have been there the whole time. So we're going to talk about that. Rehersh doesn't mention that he was healed because Parshat Shabbat Yizach Lo HaShemesh just means the sun rose, right? But nonetheless, it could be that he did that. He was limping. I guess in theory, if you're dislocated, if you lean on a stick, you can still walk on one leg and do that. Yeah, you're right. It wouldn't support you the normal way. The Yafei Tohar on the Medrash says that he literally broke his leg in two pieces. That the leg was in two different spots. The femur bone was broken, which is supposedly a very, very terrible pain. As if he cut it in half. Yeah, it's possible that it was an accident. That the Malach didn't mean to hit Yaakov's leg so hard, but that's what ended up happening. When he hit him, it was just such a hard hit. That's what happened. The Torah says it was on purpose. The Torah says that he wanted to make him a Balmum since he had taken away the Avoda from Esav. That means that he's the Kohen. A Kohen who's a Balmum cannot serve in the Mishkan, cannot serve bringing Korbanos. So he wanted that to happen. And if you go through the Torah says a Gematria, the Kaf Yerecho is a Gematria of 338, is the same Gematria of Laposlo Mikahuna, to Pasalim from being a Kohen. And it could be that he wasn't even allowed to do anything else. That this is all he was able to do, and that's it. There was nothing else that he was allowed to do. That's what the Rabbeinu Ephraim mentions over there. The Miyam Loeis says the word Bayar is used over here. He saw the Shekhinah with Yaakovino, and therefore he stopped. He was going to do more damage, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, this is it. You can't do anything else. There's nothing else that we're going to allow here. This is about it. Another pshat brought by the Baal HaTurim is based on the Yerushalmi Brachos Aleph Aleph, that the Malach wanted to know if Yaakov was human or a Malach like him, so he checked him by the knee. You know, Malachim don't have any knees. They have no ability to bend their leg. They have one leg that goes straight. And how do we know that? What halakha do we get based on that? Our davening Shemona Esrei. Shemona Esrei, you're supposed to stand like the Malachim stand. No knees, anything. So he hit him in the leg to see if he had knees or not. When he saw he had knees, he's like, oh, he's a human being. But that hit that showed him that he was a human being is what knocked down that leg. That's the Baal HaTurim.
Why would he care if Yaakov's a Baal HaTurim? Because
in a way, it still affected his children. I hear what you're saying, Jacob, but nonetheless, in a way, it did affect him and his children, that the Bechor's status would not be as special by him, and that he wouldn't be able to bring anything for the rest of his life. He did bring Korbanos after this, Yaakov, especially on his way down to Mitzrayim. He wouldn't be able to do that anymore. That was the problem.
I have a problem with that.
Please.
Is Yehud allowed to be a Kohen if he's a king?
It's a good call. Someone is allowed to be the Kohen. The question is who? At the end of the day, it was Levi. Now, why Levi was chosen is a good question. Yehuda was the Rosh Shiva, as we all know. He's the strongest, the Gibor, the leader. Reuben was the Bechor. Yosef HaTzadik was the other Bechor. Why did Levi get chosen? That's a kasha for another time.
Well, why wouldn't they? But they would be all considered Kohanim then if Yaakov was the
Kohen. In theory, yes. The Bechors would have all been Kohanim of all of the Shvatim.
Right.
That's what would have been until Shevet Levi was chosen. That's the way it should have been until one point. What happened? The Egel Azov is basically the answer to that question. But either way, the Sforno says the reason why the Malach couldn't get a hold of Esav, the reason why he couldn't defeat Yaakov I'm sorry, is because Yaakov's thoughts were continuously davuk to Hashem. That the only thing that could stop that connection was when he reminded Yaakov, you know, that your children are going to sin, and that stopped the connection for a little bit and allowed the Malach to do something. The Radak says he was looking for some type of weakness that he couldn't find anything to take advantage of. But the Rabbeinu Bachaya says there was one sin. We all know what that sin was. He married two sisters. And when he married those two sisters, he was hit in that area that allowed him to be considered a sinner. That was that. For such a person who was willing to fight a Malach, a guy who was like that, that's an amazing point. That person was there. It is still amazing, though. Even after marrying two sisters, think of how the Yaakov, you know, progressed. Think of what it was. At first, he saw a dream about Malachim. And he saw them far away, climbing up a ladder, getting away from him. Okay, the second thing that he saw were the Malachim at the end of this exparsa, after marrying those girls, after marrying the two sisters, after being involved with Lavan, then he meets Malachim at the end of Parshas Vayetze. And now he fights with the Malach. He's literally on par with the Malach. He's on the same level playing field, so to speak. That's an amazing progression that he took care of.
It should be good that he married two sisters.
It's also Mina Torah. So even though Yaakov didn't keep...
Sister, how is that meant to answer?
Two sisters?
You know how to do that?
No, for sure not.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah. No, that's going to sound awkward now.
No,
I am not checking your family. So now, yeah, Yehuda, what's up?
Is there like any soap behind this where people say, oh, it didn't happen, and this is...
Yes, we are going to get to it. Give me some on this. The question is, why hit on that spot? What was this supposed to portend? How did that go through? And really, this answers your question. What were the secrets behind hitting him in that area?
Bone that was injured, why is it an outgitter, not
to get an usher? So hold on a second. Let's go like this. The Ramban gives the overall best answer that leads into everything else. The Ramban says, by touching Yaakovinu, he was hitting all future generations that came out, all the tzaddikim, that they would eventually be destroyed by the children of Esav. The line that he refers to is, these are the Asaru Gemalkos. These are the Talmidei Chachamim that are killed by Rome over and over and over again, one after the other. All the Talmidei Chachamim that have been killed throughout the generations, the Tanoim, the Amoraim, the Gaonim, the Rishonim, and the Achronim, this is all portent. They're all retold over to Yaakov Avinu from the fact that he got hit right there in the leg. That's the idea. Even all the way up to like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, he gives specifically, that was tortured by the Romans. This is the idea of the Malach of Esav torturing Yaakov Avinu and giving him tremendous pain by making him dislocate that leg. But in the end, by Yavo Yaakov Shalom, Yaakov in the end will survive. The Talmidei Chachamim will survive. There will be an end for Klal Yisrael. There will be something that will be greater than this, that even though we lose Talmidei Chachamim and Tzaddikim all the time to our enemies and to the people that are out there, nonetheless we will survive with everything. That's the idea behind it. The Mayana Shel Torah says the Malach of Esav saw it had no chance of making Yaakovinu sin. That wasn't going to happen. So he went for his kids. Yotzei Yirecho, again a reference to the leg. Therefore, immediately after Esav left, Dina was forcibly taken by Shechem. Meaning that was the idea. The remez was, this might not happen to you, Yaakovinu, but your kids will be affected by it. I know, it's funny, right? What are you thinking of, Rafi?
Think about your kids.
Very good. Exact same line. I feel bad for saying that, but it was the only thing I was thinking of as well. Rav Yaakov speaks about this as well. That's why afterward the Shvatim took it upon themselves to go together to aser the Gidon Asher, to aser that part of the leg. And it's not only the Gidon Asher, it's really the meat around the Gidon Asher, although we do allow most of the time for filet mignon to be eaten if you take out the actual gid. But what they said is they want to take on something by themselves because they knew they were the ones affected. It's not Yaakov who was affected by this, even though he was the one that was really hurt. It was the kids that they were the Malach of Esav was referring to. That's why they worked on themselves to make themselves a little bit better. The Chafetz Chaim says, this allows us to understand when someone does something wrong, it's really not entirely his fault. It has to do with the Malach of Esav, what he did to Yaakov, that applies for him as well. Okay, it goes through as well. Rav Wolfson has a whole piece where Moshe Wolfson says that Esav and the Malach of Esav really affect the feet of the Shura of Adam Rishon. I know this is hard to understand. Every neshama is connected to a part of Adam Rishon's body. We are the ankles, all the way on the bottom of Adam Rishon's body. We are Ikbisa de Meshicha, the ankles of Mashiach. That's what it refers to. The people that are the feet of Adam Rishon's body, the neshamas that are the lowest neshamas, those are the ones that are affected, says Rav Wolfson, the idea. And that's what it means, Gidan Asha. The word Nasha means to forget something. We're the ones who forget things the most often. We're the ones ones who get affected by this the most. In Kamote Shalorov, he says that the Malach of Esav tries to seduce them to not have faith in Hashem. That's a little bit different. Not to do Averos, but to not have any faith, to not believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That leads to terrible times. Those Jews that don't have faith, unfortunately, have been our worst enemies over the year. It's funny, because Kamote Shalorov was quoting a person who was living during Bolshevik-led Russia. At the time, the Bolshevik system was made by Jews. Of course it was made by Jews. The same way Stalinism was also made by Jews, and communism, socialism, everything was made by us. Jews without Torah, what? Bolshevik, the Bolshevik Revolution, in my vast knowledge of Russian, thank you, my Russian history, Bolshevik, that's how you pronounce it? I'm sorry, my Russian is not as what it used to be, da. But the way it was, these are the people that took over in the early 1900s, late 1800s, and early 1900s, till around 1908, 1909? Yeah, yeah. So 1917 is when they ended? It's amazing that you know that, but yes. That, around that time. Yeah, right around. Now, the Kli Yakar. What's up?
Right. Comes.
So the way we get that
one, yeah. The Gita Nasha is one of those things that's going
to
get corrected.
See, that's a big shiloh, because the Gita Nasha seems to be unlike the idea of what we say of the here's the difference. Alkin lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael's Gita Nasha. Therefore, they do not eat the Gita Nasha. That reasoning should always apply based on what it is. And we're going to see what that means in a little bit. The question is, lo yochlu is future tense. They will not eat it. So is there a time where eventually they can say no, like by the pig, by the chazir, it says it in future tense, right, that we, as long as it doesn't chew its cud, it's not kosher. But if the pig chews its cud, it'll be kosher again. There is a Medrash Tehillim in Kuf Mem Vav that says Hashem Matir Asurim. And Hashem Matir Asurim means everything that is Asur will eventually become Mutter. There will be no Hilchus Nida, there will be no Isurim of Achila, there will be none of those Isurim. There's a very interesting Medrash Tehillim. What that means and how to apply that when the Torah should still apply is a big shiloh. That's a good shiloh. The Kli Yakar says that the Malach's intention was to blind Yaakov from seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make him think there was nothing else in the world. So this is what he did. He knocked him down to where he could not see Sisrei Torah. Sisrei Torah, the secrets of the Torah, and the Kabbalah behind it is referred to by the Yerech. It's what stands up a person and allows him to stand like this. He thought, the Malach of Esav thought, that Yaakov Avinu's world was revolved around money. That he was going for money. Look, he's going back for the Pachim Ketan. On him. So any time that he's concentrating on money, he will never be able to understand the secrets of the Torah. And therefore, because of that, Yaakov had to go against, and that's what he has to work on, not having that love for money and loving Torah instead. Reb Hirsch says that's exactly what he meant. Remember we said from the Chizkuni, tried to lift his leg off the ground? He tried to take Yaakov Avinu off the world completely. Tried to grab him and take him out of the world. But it never worked. As long, he may have weakened Yaakov's material power, but as long as he concentrates on Torah and he does what he's supposed to do on earth, everything will be okay. If he acts like Esav, that's when he'll start being successful in his business and physical and all the gashmis they have in this world. Otherwise, everything's going to be okay. Now, Rabbi Victor Miller has such a great piece over here. Says, I just think, fighting a Malach is an unequaled torture. You're dealing with the worst pain that you could possibly imagine. You cannot stop thinking for a second. It's like playing, it would be like arm wrestling, but your whole body, including your mind, without being able to stop thinking or doing what you're doing, it's an unequal torture that he could not stop. His body was nearly torn apart by the Malach. That's what he's going through, even though he had tremendous strength. We all know from pulling off the rock, right? Tearing off the rock, we know how strong he was. Prolonged torture, he says, where Victor Miller said, is the worst ordeal that a person can go through in this world. There is nothing worse for a person than torture that is just lengthened and pulled out. Hanani Mishael Vazaria says the Gemara, because they were thrown into the furnace, they didn't bow down to the idol. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, had Nebuchadnezzar tortured them, they would have bowed down to the idol. Torture is something that we cannot handle mentally. We have no ability to do it. Many times, Yaakov thought he was done. He thought the pain was too much for him to overcome and he couldn't take it anymore. This is a parallel to us in Gullus. This is what it's like for us in Gullus. It's one long night of confusion when nothing makes sense and terrible things happening. And there are many people who have given up their Jewish lives to forget about this Gullus and get them out. That's the pshat on what Yaakov stood for. Don't give in. Don't stop working. Keep going, because the light of morning, the Geula, will happen and everything will be okay. You just have to keep going. That's the Malach blessing Yaakov Yaakov at the very end. Everything's going to be fine. But he has to know. And Yaakov could not go through it for himself. He went through it because he knew he had children and grandchildren. He was doing it for them, not for himself. If he was just doing it for himself, he wouldn't have been able to do it. You think of your children, that's when things end up going well. And that was the one weak spot that he had. His kids would have temptations to the outside world. And that's what Victor Miller says. Those kids will be lost. The Sadducees, the Karaites, the Hellenists, the Reformed Jews of nowadays will be lost to Judaism. That's the leg being hit and the remnants to them being lost in the darkness of Gullus. Even though Yaakov Avinu survives, those kids don't. Those kids do not survive. What's up, Joe?
Also, like, why Yaakov was intact in Myra?
Very good. That's 100% the reason why he was Metakim Arav. Every one of the Hasidic Sfarim all say the exact same. The Kedushas Levi Tzfar, Shlomo, the Noam Elimelech, they all say that Marav stands for confusion and trying to find a light in the darkness. They all call it that way, which is why it's a Rishus, because not always do you have the mindset to be able to daven in the middle of the night, right? That's the Rishus that turns into a Chova, that allows you to become a Chova. Ben, what's up?
What is the Shvatim taken during the Beis Mikdash?
The Shvatim,
the 10 Shvatim, weren't they taken away during the Beis Mikdash?
For 100%, yeah.
So that's not during Gullus.
That's a good call in what's considered an actual Gullus. There's no question there. It's called the Gullus Aseres HaShvatim. And those Gullus Aseres HaShvatim still has not come back. We had some of them come back. Yechezkel was able to bring some of them back. But nonetheless, that Gullus was right there. But it was not a Gullus of all of Klal Yisrael, unlike the other four Gullus. And if you think the way you're thinking right now, what about Yavon? Gullus Yavon, we were in Eretz Yisrael. We had the Beis HaMikdash. It's just they were in charge. How is that a Gullus, so to speak? Right now, we have Eretz Yisrael. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash, but we have Eretz Yisrael. How is that a Gullus? It clearly is still a Gullus because we don't have the mindset of us being in charge, us ruling over, us doing everything like it. The Malbim understands the whole Maisa in a different way. I'm not sure I'm really understanding this Malbim all the way through. You might want to go through it yourself to try to see if you come up with another shot. The way I understand it is the following. This fight was not physical the way it seems. It was in Yaakov Avinu's mind the entire time. He was fighting the Yetzirah, not thinking about sin. What it really meant was that the Yetzirah is throwing terrible thoughts at Yaakov Avinu, trying to inject these thoughts into his mind and make him think terrible things and make him have a sin in his head. Not to do anything wrong, but to think something wrong. And Yaakov Avinu was so strong, such a chassid. He had perfected himself to such a level. Remember, right now he's 97 years old, maybe 98, but he had perfected himself to such a level, he was able to hold it off by just having faith that a Kadosh Baruch would allow him to do everything for him. That's the idea. The Yetzirah was only one thing. There's only one part where the Yetzirah automatically has a connection to. And you all know it from the Gemara Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin, during the times of the Anshei Knesset Gedola, wanted to be mevatel the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. So you all know what happened, right? They took away the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. They got rid of it completely. And then they said, let's go another route. Let's take not only the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, let's take out the Yetzer Hara for Arias. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, I think it's Samach Dalet, says that they did it, right? And then they couldn't even find eggs to be able to eat. There were no eggs available because the chickens weren't laying eggs. People had no desire for Kiyum Hamin, to keep people around, to have more children. So they brought back the Yetzirah of Arias, but they blinded it so that no longer do people have a Yetzirah for their relatives. They have a Yetzirah for the men of Arias, for just to be together with that Isha. That would be enough to be able to go through. Says that, based on that Gemara in Sanhedrin, says the Malbim, that's the only part that the Yetzirah cannot be taken away. The Yetzirah was injected in the leg, in that area of the body, so that there will always be a Yetzirah for that. That can't be taken away. But everything else, he was able to fight everything else except for Kiyum Amin. That's the only place that's going to be weakened. Then Netziv says it was already toward the end, and it was really Yaakov Avinu's fault, says the Netziv, that the Malach had loosened his grip. He wanted to move on and go up to Shemayim, and Yaakov grabbed it and said, you're not going anywhere. So when the Malach was grabbed grabbed by Yaakov, you know, he was punished by being hit in the leg. He should have left the Malach alone, let it go. Don't carry on a fight. That's not what you should do. That's the idea behind it, that one should not be involved with such a thing. That once the fight happens, you have to fight back. Don't start the fight. Don't continue the fight. Don't make the fight last longer. That's the idea behind it. It was sort of like, this is not a great parenting tactic, but it is a parenting tactic. Your son gets into a fight with the other son. You see clearly that one son said something to another son, and then one son punched the other son. Okay? So I've got, let's just say their names are Ezzy and Ruby. Okay? It just happens to be. So Ezzy punches Ruby, right? Ruby then takes a whole chair and smacks him in the head. Now that did not happen. Not that I'm talking about any specific kids. I'm just saying, right? He goes ahead and he takes that chair and he smacks him right in the head. There is a point of escalation here. There's a point of escalation. One kid was saying words, then another kid threw a punch. Then another kid threw a chair. There's escalation. Now, how to judge each level is something different. The fact that the Malach was fighting Yaakov and they were on equal ground is one thing. Once Yaakov escalated the fight by grabbing and saying, I don't want you to leave, we're fighting until I'm finished. That's when the Malach said, dude, I've been playing with you the whole time. And that's when he hit him in the leg and showed him, no, I was allowing you to be on the equal. You don't get to fight me. I get to start the fight with you. That's what it's like. Don't incite the Yetzer Hara. If the Yetzer Hara comes up to you, you have to fight. And you have to say, no, I'm not going to give in to the Yetzer Hara. But you don't start the Yetzer Hara. Don't put yourself in a situation where you know there will be a Yetzer Hara and you might sin.
David HaMelech was wrong for asking to be tested.
That's exactly it. David HaMelech, as we all know, was supposed to be the fourth Av. We would have had a Motzi Shabbos Malava Malka, and that would have been part of Shabbos. It would have been a 36-hour Shabbos. David HaMelech's meal would have been Malava Malka. That would have been it. He would have been the fourth Av, and he asked the Kaddish Baruch Hu, what is my test? Test me. I want to be the fourth Av. And the Kaddish Baruch Hu said, I'm going to tell you what the test is, and you still won't pass it. And he told him it's going to be a riot, and he still didn't pass it with Batsheva. And that was the issue, that he did not become the fourth Av, even though he was told what his test was going to be. It's an amazing idea behind it. Seder Lazarus is something that I've never heard before. Do you know that back in the day they used to carry their staros on their leg? On the upper leg? So what star did Yaakov Avinu have?
Maros
Machpelah. He had the star of the Bechorah, right, that he had taken from Esav, which included Maros Machpelah. So the Malach wasn't reaching to hit him. He was reaching to grab the star and accidentally hit him. At the same time, he went to go grab that star. That's the idea. When he did that, I guess he missed and he just tore out the leg. But that's what happened. The Parties Yosef adds on that this is why people used to swear by putting their hands on thighs. Where do we see somebody putting a hand on a thigh in order to make a shvua? Yeah. Eliezer and Avraham Avinu, right? We find that concept right over there. It also explains... Now we understand there's another pshat. It's because that's where Staros went. The reason why people would swear there, right, which is a weird place, even if it is the Bris Milah, is because that's where Staros would be put. They tied it up around their legs so that they could have it on them at all times. Now you understand why Mordechai, when he saw Haman walking by, remember Mordechai bought Haman as a slave. It's awesome. Haman was an Eved Kenani, which meant that he had a Bris Milah. Because an Eved Kenani has a Bris Milah. Haman was, he had the status of a woman. He had to do his chayv and mitzvahs like woman. Mordechai would stretch out his leg when Haman would walk by. Because his star was on his leg. You know, we all say that it was on his foot, and he used to show it on his foot, and that's what, the star was on the shoe. It wasn't on the shoe, it was on the leg, says the Parties Yosef. And he would spread it out to show him, I own you. I take care. That's the idea behind it. Such a crazy shot from the Seder Lederach. Tiferes Yonasan, Rabbi Yonasan actually says, the only sin we've seen by Yaakov is that he delayed going home to his parents. Do you notice that after this whole fight with Esav, he spends another 2 years until he goes home. And in fact, he missed his mother's funeral because he waited back and did not go immediately. There's kashas why he didn't go. Many, many different answers as to why he didn't go. But whatever it is, he was hit in the leg for not using it correctly and going home as quickly as he could. So it was different from everything else. Not about the kids, not about the Arias, not anything like that. It's that, why didn't you use your legs to walk home to your father? You missed your mother's funeral. How could you not do that? That's what the Sultan was getting him on. It's interesting because that didn't happen yet. But he also says it was necessary because Yaakov was supposed to have a 13th child. These are very interesting shots.
13th son.
A 13th son, I should say. You're right, because he did have a 13th child in Dina. There was supposed to be a 13th son, and Fez, Rabbi Yonis, and Eichitz to make it Echad. Echad is a gematria of 13, to make them all one. So the Malach, who may have been Michoel, hid him in that area to either knock out the Yetzirah and not have him want to be Mekayim Amin and to have any other children, or so that he wouldn't be able to have that child. Notice, by the way, that Reuven, later on in this week's Parsha, stops him from being together with Bilhah, so that there won't be a 13th child. That's another shot that deals with it. Rabbi Yonis actually speaks about it a little bit early, but still it's there. The Belzer Rebbe says such a crazy thing.
What is it with the 13th?
I'm sorry? There was always supposed to be an Ephraim Menashe split, but everybody always thought that it was going to be a shevet from Yosef Atzadik himself, from Yaakovinu himself. Yaakovinu said, I was supposed to have this split. When he said Yosef, Ephraim Menashe, Kiruven, the Shimon Yuli, literally, they would have been my children. They would have been mine. They would have been the 13th shevet split in half and would have been all the way through. Some say that Shechem, who had been together with Dina, would have been the 13th shevet. So, I'm sorry?
Why prevent it?
Apparently, it wasn't time, or they weren't ready for it. Something was up. We all know the Midrashim that he was supposed to have 12 and 4, 2 and 2, right? That it was supposed to be. We don't know anything else. It is a strange shot altogether. What's up, Noah? That he wasn't. That's a shiloh in and of itself. It's a good call. I gave a shiur on Reuven last year, so I suggest you look at it. But I do think there's a lot behind it. But it's hard to say that Reuven really thought that somebody was going to take over for him. He wanted to make sure that he had something. You're right. But nonetheless, it would have been a little bit weird. I will say the Belzer Rebbe said specifically the Malach of Esav went for that area of the body. You know why? Gid Hanosha is the gematria of Esav. It's Esav plus one, which is an interesting call. Why that specifically? Ash, what were you going to say?
If he has 15 kids, then it would have been split between him and Yosef?
Seemingly, I don't think Yosef would have had the double. It is weird, just altogether, it's weird that Yosef got a double child. That's not a normal Bechora status. Mm-hmm. Because normally, Bechora status goes on things that you own, not on things that are going to be in the future. That's called things that you have, not Roi. It applies on Muchzuk, not on Roi. So the fact that he gave him a chelik of double in order for his kids to get it is weird. Aside from that, Reuben is known as the Bechor. Five times in Tanakh, four times after he switches around the beds. But it does say in Divrei Yamim that Yosef got the double portion because Reuven switched around the beds. That's a straight out pasuk in Divrei Yamim. It's just weird. Hard to understand. I'm sorry? No, definitely not. Yosef was the double shaver. We know that from Yosef Prime and Menashe. Oh, that's what you're saying. That's not Bechorah. The only thing was Bechorah that was given from Reuven to Yosef, seemingly. Yeah, he would have had all three. Now look, there's a Kedushas lady that says something interesting. There are three ways of serving Hashem: through one's head, through one's heart, and through the legs. The head represents Seichel, the heart represents Bina. In other words, the idea is that both are ways of understanding God through nature. The feet is the ability of getting used to things, just getting your whole body used to things, almost like a level of Emunah. It's the most dangerous and hardest way to go through. Why do I believe in God? Because Daddy told me to. Now, that works. It still works. It's rugged. You're getting yourself used to things, but it's the most dangerous because you're not thinking it for yourself. That becomes the harshest way to be able to go through. Says the Kedushas Levi, that's why you hit him in the leg. Now, let's get into the Chofetz Chaim, and I think we all understand this Chofetz Chaim, and we knew this to begin with. It's something that everybody knows. Chofetz Chaim says, the reason why the Malach didn't fight Avram, didn't fight Yitzchak, only fought Yaakov is because Yaakov stood for Torah. He was the MS and Torah that's out there. The Malach would allow, the Malach allows for chesed. If you want to do chesed, the Chofetz Chaim, you say this all the time. You want to do chesed? The Malach HaMavis will let you. The Sultan will let you. He doesn't care about chesed. If you want to daven, he'll let you daven for 17 hours a day. He will not let you learn Torah. He will put Thanksgiving days. He will put football games. He'll do anything he can to stop people from learning Torah. Anything. Everything else, he's going to allow for. But this, the HR spends all of his time trying to knock people out from learning. Rav Elchanan Wasserman explains what he means, and he says, if two people fight against each other in a battle, right, and one overpowers the other in one battle, and the other guy has to run away, It's fine, because he can still fight again. He still has his weapons, everything's over there. But if the one guy grabs the weapon out of the second guy's hands, and he's got his weapon now, the second guy doesn't have a weapon anymore, then the second guy's gone. The war is over. There's nothing the second guy can do. He is now completely gone. We have a weapon to fight the Yetzirah. The Gemara says, if we're fighting, what is the Yetzirah? How do we fight the Yetzirah? Torah is the tavlin for Yetzirah, learning Torah. But if the Satan takes away Torah, then you have no way of fighting the Yetzirah. You can't fight it. There's no way. The only way to fight it is through Torah. So what are you going to do if he takes it away from you? Mitzvos are nice little bits of gevurah, right? They help. They help. Davening allows you to be able to go. But Torah is the weapon, and the Gemara says it's the only weapon. So what are we going to do if we don't have the weapon? We can be as strong as we want. If the other guy has bombs and he's got grenades and semi-automatic machine guns, there's nothing we can do. That's the issue that the Gemara said over here in Mishlei. The Yetzirah is trying to be mevatel our Torah more than anything else. There's another thing. Chavetz Chaim says that the other thing that he gets is, look at the body. If we consider the Talmud Chacham to be the head of Klal Yisrael, and we consider good people, tzaddikim, chassidim, as being the body of Klal Yisrael, the upper leg are the supporters of Klal Yisrael. They are the people that are supporting financially everything that the tzaddikim, chassidim, and talmidei chachamim are doing. That's the support of Klal Yisrael. Literally, your body wouldn't be able to stand without the leg, without the thigh. And that's the idea. They're trying to hold everything up. Therefore, the Malach knows, I can't fight talmidei chachamim directly. I'm not going to be able to fight talmidei chachamim. I'm going to lose if I fight talmidei chachamim. But you know who I can fight against? The supporters of Torah. He knocks down the support of Torah and he tries to get them so that no one will give money, so that even the money that they give is tainted, which is even scarier. That the money comes from illegitimate sources, places that are not good, and they'll have to stop learning in order to make a parnasa, which is necessary at times, but if there could be that support and the yerech, the leg, is gone, we're missing something. We're missing the Torah that they're able to teach. That's the idea behind it. I'm going to skip this. We'll say this one quickly. The Chassam Sofer says, Tcheles is similar to the sea. The sea is similar to the sky. The sky is like the Kisya Kavod. It's all the same color altogether, right? These three represent the pillars of the world. The sea is the Torah. Okay? The sea is the Torah. The people who learn it, the Talmidei Chachamim, are the sky. That's what it refers to when it says the Rekia. And the Kisya Kavod, the Kisya Kavod is the Beis HaMikdash. The world cannot exist without Torah and Talmidei Chachamim, but it clearly can exist without the Beis HaMikdash, right? So listen very quickly. He hit him where? What was the name in Hebrew? Kaf Yerech. Yerech stands for Yam Rekia Kisei. You got it? The sea, which is Torah, the Rekia, which is Talmidei Chachamim, and the Kisei, which is the Beis HaMikdash. And he hit him in the Chaf. That the Ace of Malach of Esav took away the Chaf of Yerech, took away the Beis HaMikdash. He took away the Chaf. If you take Yerech and you have Yud Reish Chaf, he took away the Chaf of Yerech of Yaakov. And when he took that away, the Beis HaMikdash was able to be destroyed, but the Talmidei Chachamim and the Torah learning that we have would not be affected. That's the pshat of what the Malach was able to do. Edom thus destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. The Chassam Sofer says one other pshat. 100 people were dying every day in the days of David HaMelech. Every day 100 people were dying until David HaMelech davened and instituted 100 brachos every single day. That everyone must daven 100 brachos. They must say 100 brachos per day during regular days. It's kind of easy to do. You go through your regular davening. If you daven shacharis, mincha, mariv, you bench twice. If you bench twice, and then you go to the bathroom 3 times, you're done. You got all your 100 brachos, without any question. From the beginning till the end, you have 100 brachos without even trying. And sometimes you might even have to bench a second time, depends. If you do brachos on mafil, and you do the bracha of Kriyashma in the morning, you know, right before Mizmor Shir, if you add on those, and if you want to split up certain brachos, like there are 3 brachos, I'll tell you, 16 brachos of shacharis, if you do that, you'll end up getting more. The Chassam Sofer says it's harder on Shabbos, just so you know. That's why you gotta Got to make sure you concentrate. You should go to the bathroom a couple times. Make sure, that's why we eat a lot. Got to make sure that you eat and bench. You have to make sure that you have all six brachos of al nitzil zaraim, hamotzi, benching. You should make sure to have tons of brachos during kiddush. If you can do that, you got to remember to make brachos during kiddush. Remember that al michya at the end is also a smart thing to do. That's also that's important once in a while. But you get involved with it. Says the Chasam Sofer, the Satan gave Yaakov Avinu that secret to make 100 brachos a day. He's the Malach HaMavis, the Satan. So when he hit Yaakov Avinu in the chaf, in that chaf Yerech Yaakov, when he hit him there, that's by Yevorech Oso Sham. He hit him in the chaf. Chaf stands for chaf pei, is 100. That's what he hit him in. By Yevorech Oso Sham. And he taught him to make a bracha there. That's the concept, how to be able to take over. That's the idea behind it. It's an amazing line. He goes through and then he adds on with Gematrius, goes through the Chasam Sofer, but that's not for us right now. The Rav Shor says that Modim, the word Modim, Modim Anachnu Lach, is also the Gematria of 100. Mem Vav Dalet Yud Mem, which is an amazing thing altogether. That also hints to 100 brachos that we make. Now, how many days are there in a Hebrew calendar year? Regular calendar year, not a leap year. 354. You make 100 brachos a day. That's 35,400 brachos a day. A year, I'm sorry. 35,400 brachos a year. 35,400 was the number of people in Shevet Binyamin. In Parshas Bamidbor, when they counted up their shavings. Why? Because the base of Mikdash is going to be rebuilt when Klal Yisrael takes it upon themselves to do 100 brachos a day for a year. That's the line from Rav Shor, that if we do that correctly, we're going to be able to bring the base of Mikdash back. We're going to be able to go through this correctly. And if we don't do so, we take away the chaf, then the base of Mikdash is destroyed. That's the concept. That's why this fight with the Malach took place on Tisha B'Av. Because the destruction of the base of Mikdash is when you take the Chaf away from the Yerech. The Chaf, which stands for the base of Mikdash, the Kisei HaKavod of Hashem. You take that out of the Yerech, then you're losing out of the base of Mikdash. That's what the Pagam that the Malach made, and that's the Pshat that really goes through it. There's another Chasam Sofer on this we're not going to do, but that's the idea. So to summarize, what we did... I'm sorry?
Tishra is also very hard to
do. Oh, that, unfortunately, yeah, because you're missing out on benching. Right? But you have all the other brachos. You're still going to get 84 brachos from davening on Tisha B'Av. So then all you have to do is go to the bathroom a few times, smell things, right, and concentrate on the aliyahs. Because people get aliyahs. You can concentrate on those brachos, count them for yourself as if you're making brachos. You can also count chazaras hashatz if you need, but you do have to have that concentration to go that through. So again, we went through how his leg broke. We went through how this Satan was able to get through Yaakov, and we said why this affected his children, especially his children. We went through Kli Yochanan and the Rav Hirsch, Rav Avigdor Miller, saying this is an unbelievable torture. The Malbim and the Netziv. We went through the Tzedek L'Derech of keeping the Shtar on the leg itself. Rav Yonas and Rav Yonas Avshitz is two big Chidushim. The Chizlevi of the three ways of serving Hashem. The Chafetz Chaim in reference to Talmidei Chachamim learning Torah, that's where the Malach fights. We then went into Parnassa, that he tries to knock us down in Parnassa, and then we went into the Chaf, the idea of the Beis HaMikdash and the 100 brachos that goes through there. Shkoyach, everybody. We'll stop at that.